पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे At this time, sitting here in front of such Ananda Maharaj and so many wonderful devotees, I want to take shelter of the invocation Rupa Goswami gives in the sixth verse of his Lalita Madhava. Kveyam sabhagunavati bhata mugdha rupa kvaham jitosmi guru na guru goravena adhyamam adya saranam saranam gatanam dattotsavasya karuna karunarnavasya. He says kveyam. Kveyam sabha, what is this assembly that we have present before us today? They're gunavati, so many very pious, exalted personalities. And he says, who is this mugdha rupa? Mugdha rupa means bewildered rupa. Rupa in Sanskrit also means a form, and rupa in Sanskrit also means a ghost. So it's also applicable for us because we're a ghost-like creature. Kaham jitosmi guruna guru goravena. He said that I'm defeated by all these exalted persons here today. And therefore, adya mamadya saranam saranam gatanam. Saranam saranam gatanam. I'm taking sharana, or shelter, of those persons who are saranam gatanam, who are taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Datotsavasya karuna karunana vasya. That Krishna, who's an ocean of mercy, and who's giving transcendental bliss. So I want to try to say something more in our presentation about divine dance. And as we mentioned this morning we expressed the desire to go to a private place, a hidden room inside of a wonderful palace. But before you go to that room, you have to pass through the doorway. And so this morning we spoke something about that doorway and how, if we want to enter into the divine dance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, then we should understand these principles which were spoken about by the poet Yadudas in his song, Chodike Mahanta Mili Koreye Kirtana Keli Sata Sampradaya Gaya Geet. How in that kirtan everyone is welcome. There's no closed doors in that particular kirtan. And we spoke something also about how Gaura Lila began, the kirtan began behind closed doors and it ended behind closed doors. And both things are wanted. But before we ourselves can enter into that private place of kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, into that private dance, we have to first pass through the doorway. And so that was our desire this morning. We should understand something about the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Adi Lila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes a word spoken by Gaura Krishna. Purnananda moya ami chinmaya purna tattva Radhikara premi ama koraye unmata bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. He says that Purnamaya, Purnananda Moya, Ami, Chinmaya Purnatattva. I am the full Purnatattva, the absolute truth. And I'm Purnananda, I'm full of joy. He says, but Radhikara Premi Ama Koriye Unmata. The love of Srimati Radharani, it makes me unmata. It drives me mad. Najani Radhara Premi Ache Koto Bala. Je Bole Amare Kore Sarvada Vivala Bolo. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
He says that na jani radhara premi achi kutubala. I don't understand the strength of Srimati Radharani's love. Jibole amare kore sarvada vivala, by which she always overwhelms me. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we study Guru Tattva, and we go from one guru to another guru, from our Gurudev to Srila Prabhupada to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to Gaurakishore Das Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji, and we keep going back and back and back. Who is the original guru? We come to Balaram. But who is above Balaram? Is Krishna. Krishna is the original guru, but Krishna has something to say about his position. Radhikara prema guru ami shishya nata sada amanana nitye nachaya udbata bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna says that Radharani is my guru. Radhikara prema guru, she's my guru in activities of love. And ami sishya nata, I'm her disciple. And sada ama nana nitye, nitye means to dance. Sada ama nana nitye nachaya udbata. And her love makes me dance in various divine ways. This is a divine dance. As we mentioned this morning, this dance is not something contrived. It's not something artificial. It's not something that Radha and Krishna think about, oh, maybe I'll dance today, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But as we described, it's udgara. It's just comes out automatically, just as one vomits, without planning on it. But when the stomach becomes full and one becomes fully satisfied, then it just automatically comes out. The Bhaktivedanta and some Vedic literature, they speak about the origins of dance, the origins of music. Sometimes we speak about this subject. The word music is an interesting word. It's said that when, in the Christian tradition, that when Moses met God on Mount Sinai, he heard the voice of God. And what was the thing that God spoke to him? He said, Muzak, listen, Moses. And the voice of God was so beautiful that became music. So music in that tradition means the voice of God. What is the original name of India? Can someone enlighten me? Tell me. Bharat. Why is India called Bharat? Can someone say? It may be named because of Bharat Maharaj, but other persons say that this because this word Bharat is a compound word which indicates three different words. Ba, ra, and ta. The three elements of music, which are bhav, rag, and tal. In the sequence of importance, bhav is the most important, rag is the next important, and tal comes after that. This is also described in Sangeet Madhav and different Vedic literatures. In Bhaktivedanta in Fifth Wave, it's said, when it's speaking about the Rasleela. Gita nritya vajra prabhava ati soy deva manushyadi sarva chitta ashroy bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Gita nritya vajra prabhava ati soy. These three things, Gita, Nritya, and Vadya, are very glorious and powerful. Deva Manushadi Sarva Chitta Ashroy. They attract the hearts of the demigods, humans, and other beings. So Gita means singing, Nritya means dance, and Vadya means musical instruments. When we speak about Bharat, Bhav, Rag, and Tal, these also correspond to singing, musical instruments, and dance. Bhav, the essence of bhav, is in the voice. And the musical instruments, they're supposed to follow, as we'll hear something maybe on our last day. The musical instruments are supposed to follow the voice. And the voice is the best musical instrument. As we'll hear something on the last day about the Ras Lila and how the personified ragas and raginis, they went to Lord Brahma completely bewildered hearing the singing of Krishna and the gopis, and they said, we don't understand this. We don't understand what's going on. The personified ragas and raginis couldn't keep up with the voices of Krishna and the gopis. The voice is that vehicle, it's that receptacle which best keeps bhav. And therefore bhav compares to singing, Gita. And so it's Bharat and Ra, Rag, best corresponds to Vadya or musical instruments. Because with the musical instruments we play different ragas. And Tal, or the beat, best corresponds with Nitya or dance. So these three things, Bhav, Rag, and Tal, make up Bharat or India. And these three things also correspond with singing, playing musical instruments, and dancing. And these three things, these are the elements of Sangeet. And because singing is the most important of all three of them, the word Geet is in there. It's described in Sangeet Madhav and quoted by Narahari Chakravarti in the fifth wave of his Bhaktivedanta. Shuti smirtyadi sahitya nana shastra vido picha sangitam ye na jananti te dvipado mriga smitaha. A person may be learned in all the different shruti, smirti, sahitya, rhetoric, literatures, and so many different shastras, nana shastra, vido, picha, they may be very, very learned in all those things. But sangeetam ye na jananti, if they don't know sangeet, if they don't know anything about music, then te dvipado mrigasmitaha, then that person is just a two-legged animal. This is what Sangeet Madhav says. Trivarga falada sarve gyana yagyaschavadaya ekam sangeeta vigyanam chaturvarga phalam pradam. Philosophy, doing yagyas, sacrifice, prayers, and other things, all that they bring is trivarga phalada. They bring the fruits of trivarga. But each one of these things, trivarga, dharma, artha, kama, if you practice dharma, you'll get dharma. If you practice artha, you'll get artha. You'll get economic development. If you practice sense gratification, you'll get sense gratification. But only sangeet brings all these four goals of life together, including liberation. So music is very, very important. And according to the Vedic literatures, all the different ragas, which we could very roughly translate as melody, all the different ragas and raginis, all the different nitya or dance, and in the Bhaktivedanta, which gives a very short summary of sangeet, of music, there's about 1,000 verses dedicated just to dance alone. All the different types of dance. And then what to speak of the different ragas and raginis is a much greater section on that, and the different tals and things. It's a very, very vast subject. And that fifth wave of Bhaktivedanta is all about the Ras Lila. And all of these different melodies, these different tals and things, they come from the Ras Lila. There's a presentation that I like to make both to devotees and to non-devotees. I'd like to share a few thoughts of it with you because I think it's a very wonderful way to help people to understand the principles of bhakti. Once we were in Budapest and we were there for a week or so, and devotees were doing different programs, and I was going past, I saw some posters on the street for Krishna Kunda. Are you here?
Yeah.
Do you remember her name?
Natalie Cole.
Thank you. We saw some posters for some musician named Natalie Cole. She's a jazz musician. And somehow just the poster caught my eye. It seemed very artistic. She's a daughter of Nat King Cole, if some of you may have heard of him. It's not so important. But anyway, I noticed it. And a few days later, we were on the airplane flying from Budapest to Switzerland. And on the plane, there were three seats, and some young man sat down next to me, and I looked at him the way he was dressed. I heard him say a few words, And I turned to him, I was dressed in a dhoti and kurta, and I said, what part of America are you from? Immediately I could understand by his accent and his behavior. And we started speaking. It turned out he has a PhD in music, and particularly in piano. And he told me that during the summers he travels with Natalie Cole. And he's his piano player. And he said, and there's the bass player over there, there's the guitar player, there's the drummer over here, and there's Natalie up there in the front seat. He pointed out everyone in the band. And we started having a discussion. And I started expressing to him some of these ideas, how I told him that about bhakti, and that the closest thing to bhakti in this world is art. The two have many, many similarities, many things in common. Both art and bhakti should be original. If you copy someone else's devotional practices and you just imitate them, that's not really bhakti. Similarly with art, if you just copy someone else's painting, if you just learn all of Iyengar's tunes and exactly you copy the way that he does it, it's not really art the way that he's doing. We should have our own expression. Similarly, art should be done for the sake of art, they say. The purists say like this, and bhakti should be done for the sake of bhakti. If you do art for money, just like when I was growing up, my favorite band were the Beatles. And at a certain point, they say that Paul McCartney, after the Beatles broke up, some people say, I'm not trying to judge Paul, but some people say that he sold out and he just became commercial. He was just trying to get money. And so a lot of people who were connoisseurs of art, they dismissed him because of that. So similarly with bhakti, if someone does bhakti devotion for money, it's not really bhakti at all. Art requires three elements for it to be there. It requires an artist. It requires the element of art, which may be a painting, it may be sculpture, it may be deity worship, it may be singing, music, it may be storytelling. There's so many different types of art. So the artist is there, the art itself, and a connoisseur, or we would say in Sanskrit, a rasik. All three things are required. If you don't have a connoisseur who can appreciate the art, how do we know that it's art? How can we really appreciate it, truly? So similarly, with bhakti, three elements are there. There's bhakti, bhakta, and bhagavan. These three things have to be there. And the devotee is like an artist. And the art that he's doing is bhakti. And the person who's appreciating that is bhagavan. And the amazing thing about bhakti is that it's so powerful, at a certain point, the roles flip over. And Bhagavan becomes a bhakta himself because he's so eager to relish bhakti. He wants to perform it himself. And he does it for the pleasure of his devotee, his supreme devotee, Srimati Radharani. There are many, many different analogies that we can compare art and bhakti to. I'll give you one last one. You may have an art academy, a famous art academy, with 1,000 students. And out of those 1,000 students, 998 may be craftsmen when they come out. But maybe if you're lucky, you might have two actual artists. Artists are so rare. Similarly, we may have a temple with 1,000 devotees practicing in it. And out of those 1,000 persons, two of them may actually get real bhakti. And the other persons may be religious, as we often see. So these two things have so much in common, bhakti and art, and an essential part of art which goes through all different traditions is dance. And as we were mentioning this morning, kataganam nityam gamanam, that in the spiritual world every step is a dance. Dance is an intrinsic part of ecstasy. And we hear in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, as we were just mentioning, that Mahaprabhu, he's come to taste the dancing, to taste the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how is it that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Krishna prema? Kaviraj Goswami describes in the 13th chapter of Adi Lila. Tara madje nila chale chaya vatsara Nitya Gita Prema Bhakti Dana Niranta Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was distributing love of Godhead always. How is he doing it? Through two principal ways, Nitya and Gita. Nitya Gita Prema Bhakti Dana Nirantar. Nirantar means always. He was always Dana, giving this charity in the form of Prema Bhakti through these two mediums. Through the medium of singing and the medium of dance. In fact, if we study Gaura Lila, from the very beginning of Gaura Lila, there's dance. Hari ha, Hari boli nari gana de hula huli. Swage bhagya niche kore deva kutu hale bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at the time of a lunar eclipse, and on that day all the pious Hindus, they go and they take bath in the Ganga or some sacred place we see in Jagannath Puri. Whenever that happens, hundreds of thousands of people, they come to take bath in the ocean of Puri. And while they're doing that, Hari Boli, they're all reciting the names of Lord Hari. And Nadi Gana, all the wives of the demigods, they were also singing. And Dei Hula Huli, Swarga Vajja Nitya. In Swarga Lok, everyone was playing musical instruments, Vajja. And Nitya, everyone was dancing. Because at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone on the earth became full of great ecstasy. Prasanna hoila dasa dik prasanna narija stavara jangama hoila anande bivala bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, everyone became full of ecstasy in all 10 directions. And all moving and non-moving living entities, stabara jangama hoila anande bibala, they became overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. And everyone began to dance. So this dance is such an important expression. It's a such, as we'll hear in the next couple discussions after this one, it's one of the main mediums that Radha and Krishna exchange in. And it's also one of the main mediums of devotion that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us. I'd like to say a few words today about a pastime which is spoken in nine concise verses by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's known as Swapna Vilasamrita. The Amrit, this Vilas, this pastime of Swapna, having a dream. And he begins with a verse which is spoken by Srimati Radharani. Priye swapne drishta saridina sute vatra pulinam yata brinda ranye natana patavastatra bahava mridanga jam vajam vividam iha kashya dvijamani savidyut goranga Kshipati Jagatim Prema Jalado. One day, Srimati Radharani was sitting with Krishna in a secluded kunj in Braj, and she was sleeping with her head on Krishna's lap. We have a very wonderful painting of this that one artist in Cuttack in Orissa made. And Srimati Radharani woke up, and she looked a little confused. And she spoke these words to Krishna. Priye, my dear beloved, swapne drishta, I had a dream. And I saw a very amazing thing in the dream. Saradini suteva chapulinam. There was a river shore like the Jamuna. And there on that river shore, there were natanapatavas, many expert dancers, yata brindanye, just like we have here in Vrindavan. And there, on that bank of that river, Mridangam Vadyam Vividam Iha Kaschid Vijamani, many people were playing mridangas and different musical instruments. And Iha Kaschid Dvijamani, there was one Brahman who was Dvijamani, like a jewel amongst the Brahmins. And he was so effulgent. He was tossing the universe about into an ocean of ecstatic love. And then Srimati Radharani, she told Krishna, Kadachit Krishna te palapati rudan karichit aso kvaradhe hahiti swasiti patati pronjati dritim nachalau sena kvachit apiganai swai pranaibis trinadi brahmantam jagadatitaram rodayati saha. Radharani, she said, that effulgent Brahman who was there, he was dancing with many different people on the bank of that river. And sometimes he was calling out, Krishna, Krishna. And sometimes he would sigh and he would call out my name, O Radha. And he would say, where are you? And sometimes that Brahman was falling on the ground. Sometimes he was acting like a madman, losing all composure. And sometimes he began dancing ecstatically with his loving associates. And she said that that dance, Natatyu la sena kvachit api ganai swai pranayibis, and that singing ganai, chanadi brahmantam jagadatitaram rodayati saha. It's made all the residents of this world, all the residents, Trina Adi, from every blade of grass, Brahmantam, all the way up to Lord Brahma, Jagadatitaram Rodayati Saha, it's made everyone in this universe call out loudly the name of Krishna. And Radharani, she was very confused. She said, I was looking at this golden Brahman and my intelligence became bewildered. I couldn't understand. Is this my lover? Or is this me? And if it's myself, then where is my lover? And if it's my lover, where am I? Radharani couldn't understand. And she said, as I was sleeping in my sleep, I became more and more bewildered. Krishna said, Priye. Priye drisvastata kutukini maya darshati chari. Oh, inquisitive girl, previously I've shown you so many different forms, my form of Narayan and other forms, but you weren't surprised by those forms of Narayan. Why has this form of this Brahman surprised you so much? Why does he bewilder you? So much so that you're asking, who is he? We found some rare commentary on this verse, which describes how on one occasion, when Radha and Krishna were enjoying some private moments together, Radharani, she told Krishna emphatically, she said that men, they can't understand women properly. I've heard that said many times. You can ask my wife. She said, because they're not steady, they can't understand the happiness and experience of loving pastimes that women can. And men cannot understand the inner feelings of women. Krishna listened to what Radharani said. And he smiled a little. And he shook his head. No. And Krishna said, my Priya, I'll always be able to understand your inner feelings by a special form of mine. To which Radharani, she said, you're lying. How is that possible? And Krishna said, no, I'm speaking the truth. And then Radharani said, then you show me that form. And so it was a few days later that Radharani had this dream. And Krishna manifested his form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before Srimati Radharani. So Radharani, she thought for a moment, And she said that, my beloved, I know what's in your heart, and I know now why you're smiling. Because you're that Brahman. And what you said and thought are clear to me, and therefore I think I'm also that Brahman. And Radharani told him that in the King of Braj's presence, in the presence of Nanda Maharaj, Garga Muni, he once said that you will appear with a golden complexion, a yellow complexion. He didn't lie. And this dream of mine is true. It's not an illusion. And this dream of mine, I've directly seen you. So this is a very famous story, Swapna Vilasamrita, by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now I'd like to take you to another place, written by a Vaishnava who's actually very dear to Sachinanda Maharaj, I think. Because Sachinanda Maharaj has chosen his place to do your bhajan there. His name is Manohar Das. He's a very famous Siddha Mahatma. He was living on the bank of Govindakund for many, many years. He's a devotee in the disciplic succession of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There are many stories of him. His samadhi is also there, a little ways away. Maybe you've been to his samadhi in a different place from the bhajan kuti there. There's a large banyan tree on the bank of Govindakund where Manohar Das used to sit and do his bhajan. And he was chanting 3 lakhs a day. After some time, he started having some Leela Spurtis. He started seeing Krishna Leela. And he wrote a wonderful book called Vaidagdha Vilas, which is a very, very Siddhantic book. But it's also a very intimate look at the heart of Radha and Krishna. And every pastime in the book indicates Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's been something of a tradition for me here, I think, since 2011, maybe when we first started, 2012. We've been telling stories pretty much every year from this Vaidagdha Vilas. And I'd like to tell you a few more this year. First, we should say a few more words maybe about Manohar Das. He was chanting 3 lakhs a day. He was a very renounced Vaishnav. He wasn't doing Madhukari. He would simply accept whatever someone would come to give him. He was just living in Kopans and in Vrindavan, in Braj, in Govardhan. It gets very, very cold during the winter. One such winter, he was sitting on the bank of Govindakund, and it's so cold, and he's sitting there chanting his japa, and some wealthy man came from Delhi. And this wealthy man saw this sadhu, and he felt some pain in his heart. And so he offered, he said, Baba, let me do something for you. And he offered him a blanket, a kumbhal. And Manohar Das said, what is this? This is sense gratification. I don't want this. I'm trying to please my body all the time. And he refused it. And he continued his chanting. And after some time, Manohar Das went into samadhi. And he wasn't aware of anything going on in the external world. At that time, that saintly wealthy man from Delhi thought, oh, this is my chance to do some service. And he wrapped that blanket around the body of Manohar Das. And a few minutes later, an hour later, whatever, Manohar Das came to external consciousness, and something was strange. He felt hot. And he looked down and he saw this blanket. And this was about this time, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning or so, which is practically the coldest time of the night. And when he saw this blanket around him, Manohar Das said, oh, my body, you've become an offender. You're attached to sense gratification. So he threw off the blanket and he jumped into Govindakund. And this is like in January or something. For those of you who have been to Govindakund, it's a little inconceivable. So he wrote a very wonderful book, and I'd like to take you on a little journey with some of that, and taking some of the ideas that he's given also, and following them in Chaitanya Charitamrita and some other places. So in the beginning of the fourth chapter of that book, he offers the following invocation. Jaya Gora Hari Jaya Nityananda Ram Jaya Dvaita Mahavishnu Chidananda Dham. Bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. This is all glories to Gaura Hari, all glories to Nityananda Ram, all glories to Advaita, who is Mahavishnu, and who is the abode of all ecstasy and bliss. Jaya Gadadhar, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda, all glories to Gadadhar Pandit, All glories to all the devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Kripa Koti Deha Sabhi Charanarabinda. I beg from all of you, please give me the dust of your lotus feet. So he says that on one occasion, Radha and Krishna, not just on one occasion, but on many occasions, Radha and Krishna finished performing the Ras Leela. And this was the Nishant Ras. Nishant Kunjo Hite Grihite Gamana. And after the Ras Leela was finished that night, Radha and Krishna snuck off to their homes and they took rest for a few minutes. And Manohar Das describes what happened at that time. Priyara Sahita Leela Subhasita Man Yoga Nidra Te Krishna Dekine Swapan Bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. At that time, Krishna went into Yoga Nidra, not into some ignorant sleep, but in his dream, Krishna happened to see then Srimati Radharani and himself performing a very wonderful pastime. And Radharani was dancing. And Krishna was telling her, you dance more, dance more. And Swapanete Gana Krishna Mridu Mandaswari. Mridu means in a very sweet, very gentle way. Krishna began singing while Srimati Radharani was dancing. And in this way, Srimati Radharani and Krishna came together and were dancing together in a dream. So, Manohar Das describes, Krishna griha bete hasa sundar bhavan samukha grihete batu korina shayan bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Describes something about Krishna's house. Krishna Grihe Bitti Hasa Sundara Bhavan. Very, very wonderful, beautiful house. And how Krishna in his room, he began to laugh. In another room, not too far away, Samukha Griheti, was Batu. Batu is also known as Madhu Mangal. And Batu at that time, he began to have a dream. And what was Madhu Mangal's dream? Swapane na chata gana suni sakamuni chalile na shigra krishna pase manasuke bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Swapane na chata gana suni sakamuke. In his dream, Madhu Mangal saw Krishna dancing and singing. And Madhu Mangal very quickly woke up and he ran to the side of Krishna. And Manohar Das says, tat-ta-tai-tai-kori. He made some noise and he woke Krishna up. And then Krishna, he looked at Madhu Mangal. And Krishna boli, saki. Krishna said, ananda teki te tomake. Madhu Mangal, why do you look so happy? Batu boli priyanacha sunitava muke. And Madhu Mangal said, I've been listening to you singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. And then Krishna became a little shy at that time. And Krishna said, Krishna boli, Saki bhara, bhara, koile upakar, anyate shunile lajja, paite apar. He said, it's very good that you woke me up at this time. Otherwise, someone else might have heard me and I would have gotten in big trouble. If Mother Yashoda would have come and she would have heard me singing to Srimati Radharani and calling out Radharani's name, she wouldn't be able to understand this. And Manohar Das describes that, E rupa shri radhara swapna dasa hoy priyanarama saki tate rakshata kori. At the same time Krishna was having this dream, Srimati Radharani was also having a dream there in Javad. And in the same way that Krishna was singing to Radharani, Radharani was singing to Krishna in her dream. And the Lita came. It woke her up and she came and, hey, hey, Radhe, Radhe, stop that, stop that. Kutila, she's going to find out. Jatila, your mother-in-law, your sister-in-law, they'll find out. It's very, very bad. So there's a nice verse in this regard, which I'll finish with, from Rupa Goswami's Ujjal Nilamani, where he describes, Vatijyata yamapi samsritanam tampanchamim prema maimavastam nasambhavatyeva haripriyanam svapno rajo britti vijimbito yaha. He speaks about dreams. And he says that the gopis of Braj were very dear to Krishna. He says that tam panchamamim, they're on the fifth level of consciousness. Prema moyim avastam, which surpasses even the fourth state of samadhi. And that these gopis, they cannot have dreams that are caused by Rajagun. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on this. He says that Shastra describes in many places that dreams arise from intelligence that's situated in the mode of passion, in Rajagun. And he says it's impossible to have dreams about the Lord in such a consciousness. If we're in the mode of passion, you can't really have a dream about the Lord. He's spiritual. He says that's true for material persons, but it's not true for persons with Krishna prema. And they surpass the fourth state of consciousness, which is, there's three states of consciousness, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. And the fourth state of consciousness is samadhi. And there's a fifth state of consciousness, which is Krishna prema. And in that ecstasy of Krishna prema, this is the dance. This is the platform of dance, which even goes on in the dreams of Radha and Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in our next discussion, we'd like to go a little further and tell you a story, a dancing story, about how Govinda dressed himself up like a gopi to dance. That's another discussion. So I'd like to stop here. I think we're a few minutes late. Go to Hari Prabhu. Do we have enough time for a few reflections or questions? Or should we just stop? It's okay.
I think if we go with reflection, that the world is...
Then everything will be extended. That's right. So better that we stop. If anybody has any questions or comments or anything, you can come and see me afterwards. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ju Ke Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi Vancha Kalpadarubhish Cha Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo. Thank you.